Laughing Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and we are hosting the Gypsy Musher. And on the line is our host, Hugh Neff. Hugh, how's it going?
Good morning, Robert. It's pouring rainy here up in Tok this morning. Been raining all night long, actually.
You know, we've got
pretty mellow.
It's got a lot of rain down here in the valley too. But before we get into that, let's talk about that trip you got coming up here in a couple of days. You're heading over to Australia. What's going on with that?
I was invited over there to help. With the races they have going on there, and I'll be flying out of Fairbanks on Monday to Sydney, and some IFS-sponsored races with carts, I believe, and totally looking forward to it. Ann McIntyre's been my liaison, setting everything up for me, and it's going to be exciting. I've got a lot of people that have been sending me messages, letting me know about plans they have for me, so a little up in the air on what's actually going to be happening once I get there, but I know I'm going to be giving some talks and presentations and stuff like that, and there will be some races going on. They use carts down there, I believe. There is actually snow in parts of Australia, but I think the dogs aren't really allowed to be used in the national parks like that for races, so they do it more on with carts, I believe. I'm not really sure about the train. I've looked at pictures and stuff, though, and it looks pretty cool, so I'm excited. Hopefully they'll let me take their dogs out on a run as well.
So how long are you going to be down there?
For 2 weeks. So there's a few different races I'll be doing on various weekends.
That sounds cool. I know they do a lot of purebred racing down there. What do you think about that, the purebred teams compared to the Alaskan teams? I know you're definitely partial to the Alaskans.
Yeah, but you know the way mushing's going, it's hard to tell anymore as far as, you know, the whole tortoise and the hare and what's better over 1,000 miles. It seems like some people do well with, you know, slower dogs that can go farther. It looks like the puppies are serenading y'all this morning, Robert.
I hear that.
Hey, you guys, what are you doing? And that, those are some, speaking of some slower dogs that can go forever, those are my John Baker pups. And then some other is Hey, Dixie Lou! I better sneak away there. He's looking at me, wanting to play. It's funny that they're at that puppy stage where they need tons of attention, you know, and every time they see you come out the door, they're expecting you to take them on a long walk or a run. This is definitely the summers, I think. I spend a lot more time with the pups and the dogs, obviously, just nurturing and all that. But do a lot of my training with the dogs, obviously. I have a dogs always bring in my longer runs. But back to the Siberians, you know, they're different style of, you know, you can't really get, you know, top end speed out of them like you could, Martin Boozer did. Still fine animals, and, you know, Martin Boozer told me a few times, he straight off asked the Siberian Musher, and he was the rookie of the year with us. His first Iditarod. Came in 22nd place, you told me. So Siberians are beautiful animals.
Can you hear me? You're cutting up a little bit. Stand in one.
Sorry. I'm sort of hiding here behind a wall behind the puppies here so they don't see me.
Okay.
Guys like Martin and Ray and some other mushers, you know, have history with Siberians, and they say it's really a dog that maybe it's not going to win the Iditarod, but it's the dog that you might want to breed into for that mentality.
Right, right. So let's talk a little bit about those guys. I know you would probably like to be a part of it today, too, but today is the sign-up for the 2013 Iditarod down at the Volunteer Picnic. Can you tell our fans a little bit about that, what goes on at that picnic?
Oh, it's who supported the Iditarod or, you know, other races. You need to get out there and not only say, you know, coming from next year's race, but get out there and give back to the people who have been volunteering for the race. I mean, I think that's part of my success as far as longevity so far is I don't really get into dog mushing to make money. It's not why I love what I do. I love it because I love to mush. And so a lot of these people have been volunteering for the Iditarod for years. And the longer you do these races, you realize that the race far exceeds any desires any individual musher might have. And to give back to what we're also lucky to be a part of, it should be a rule for all of us. One of the main rules is you got to give back to the recent races. And I wish I could be down there, but, you know, so for some reason people think because I won a race or that I'm a little bit famous that I'm a very wealthy person, and that's far from the truth. And I'm not really able to afford to go down there and then turn around and drive all the way back up to Fairbanks to fly out. My flight's out of Fairbanks on Monday. Down there, hello to everybody down there in Iditarod land. Realistically, there's a lot of great mushers out there, especially in Iditarod. There's, you know, so many of them that I think some of these races might need a little break from the Hunef show. Maybe I can be a little bit much sometimes with my personality, and sometimes I think I need to just lay low and hang with my dogs and let some other mushers take over the show for a while.
We can never have too much of the Hugh Neff show. I guess that's why we're hosting one here on a Saturday morning. We usually do them during the week. But if I could just ask a couple more questions about the picnic. When you guys sign up down there, today for next year's race, do they give away an entry or something like that? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, usually they give away one or two. Every year it seems like it's different. I know John Cooper from Kitmic Booties donates some booties as well as some ladles and, you know, dog mushing stuff for free that they do a full floor. And then I think Martin might have won last year. I think Jeff King's won in the past, and Ramey Smith and Zoya won. Got their free entry fees back. I think, what is it, $3,000 now this year? I think it went down actually a little bit, which is good for those younger mushers that are trying to break into the sport. They do that at the end of the day. And there's typically, I'd say, 40 or 50 mushers that show up. And a lot of mushers are signing up, obviously, over the internet or the phone as well, or through the mail. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the last day for entry, is that November 30th?
Is it? Okay, good to know. So I got a few months to try to raise money.
Yeah, so you don't have to, the guys don't have to sign up today. They can do it over the next several months. And there's always some interesting drama there towards the end. I know Jeff King did that last year and signed up pretty much on the last day he sent in his entry so he could be in this year's race. So there's always a little bit of drama there, isn't there?
Of course, yeah. What would dog mushing be without drama? As well, there's a little bit of a thought that goes into it as far as the whole racing goes, because if you sign up later, you're going to obviously be leaving the starting line later. Some people want to. Maybe they don't want to be off in the front pack. They want to sort of hang back because they know that their natural inclination is to go to the front of these races, and it's not for their own good. So maybe there's a reason that certain mushers want to sign up late. I've done it both ways, and obviously this year I'm going to be holding back and signing up a little later for various reasons.
So let's talk about the kennel tour, something you started here just a couple of weeks ago on your new website, hughneff.com, and you posted some postcards and things at some of the visitor centers there in Tok. I know you've had a couple of tours from guys coming out to see you. What's going on with those?
It's mostly been family so far, and they're all basically, a lot of them are from Europe, actually. A lot of them know me through a video that one of the major news corporations in Germany did on the quest a few years back. So I've had a lot of Germans, some Dutch, and basically, you know, it's not one of your high-end tours as far as, we don't do dog rides. I'm more of a person that I'm going to go around and introduce them to all the dogs, and I'll let the pups out for them to play with, and we'll just hang back, and it's mellow, and I'm talking about race experiences, You know, these people just want to see the real Alaska, I think. I think they don't want to just go on a tour. They want to see somebody, what it's like. That's what I try to show these folks. It's just, you know, a regular mom-pa type kennel and not, you know, one of the larger outfits. And it's the way I like it. I don't think I'm ever going to be one of these people that's going to be huge as far as in the mushing tourism world, but I do enjoy visitors, and it's a great way for the dogs, you know, get close around people. A little boy here from Belgium named Paul with his folks, and Paul, I guess, was maybe 3 years old, and the look of wonder in his eyes, playing with the pups, and you could tell he didn't want to leave, so it's a lot of fun. And it's most of these people who come through Tok, obviously, are driving, too, and it's pretty neat to realize how far they've come, you know, just to check out the scene. So I really enjoy doing it. Fun. Except on a day like today where it's pouring rain out, of course.
So, Hugh, we have a person that wants to chime in here. Do you mind taking a call?
Sure. Who is it?
I'm not sure. It just has their number here. So we'll pull them up, and maybe they have a question for you.
Sure.
This is Robert. You're on Gypsy Musher. What's your question?
Hey, Robert, this is Barry from Tennessee. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You got on the line here with Hugh as well.
Oh, hey, Hugh, how are you?
I'm in Tennessee.
Yeah, man. Did you say you were in Alaska right now?
Oh, yeah, in Tok, Alaska.
Tok, Alaska. I just had a buddy of mine from Anchorage. Well, he's originally from his family owns a lot of the property across from Anchorage, across the waterway there, I guess. He was just staying with us for about a month and a half before he finally found a job in wind turbine energy and up in Iowa, and I don't think he would have found the job unless he would have, you know, he obviously came here for a reason. But at any rate, I wanted to ask you, I've got 8 dogs. I have 2 St. Bernards, I've got a Great Pyrenees, I've got a German Shepherd, a Siberian Husky, and then my wife, of course, you know, with the smaller dog, she has 3 poodles. And I was going to ask you, well, both of you guys, and just see what you thought. I mean, they're a great pack together, except for the Siberian Husky. He's been the last addition. And for whatever reason, he is very aggressive towards all of the other dogs. And do you think it's because he is the last, you know, that maybe he's not used to being around other dogs? Or, well, actually, I'll take that back. I know for a fact that he was around one or two other dogs before he adopted him. So that's not it. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry to backtrack. But we're trying to figure out what we want to do with him. I mean, I don't, you know, once we have a dog for more than a week or two, that's it with me, you know. I mean, they're ours, you know, and I mean, obviously with the number of dogs that we have and the size of them as well, obviously. I was just wondering what you guys thought about, you know, what can I do to calm him down around the other dogs and become a part of the pack that I have that acts, I mean, they're wonderful. They act so well together. It's amazing.
Barry, if we can here, Hugh, if you could chime in on that a little bit about how you introduce dogs into your kennel, the new guys, from a musher's perspective anyway.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Well, I introduce them to the girls, of course. They're in charge.
You're exactly right. We've got one boy and he's the other one.
I would definitely, with any dogs, I always, when I'm doing my school talks, I always sort of compare a lot of their personalities to the kids are. And for me, if I have any issues with dogs, I just go exercise and get them out there. Do you take them out blocks? A lot of Siberians are neat.
We live 15 minutes from a place called Fall Creek Falls State Park. And
outside of Nashville or where?
In between Chattanooga and Nashville is where we live, basically.
Nice, yeah.
We're in the Cumberland Plateau, right on the Trail of Tears. We're about, 50 minutes northwest of Chattanooga.
I was born in Chattanooga, believe it or not.
Are you kidding me?
No. And it's funny, last night in the movie, one of my favorite movies of all time, called The Education of Little Tree.
Uh-huh.
That takes place in Tennessee, actually.
Yeah, I do.
So,
I think I know what you're talking about.
I love Tennessee. But, yeah, it takes time, obviously. Siberians are very, Robert will attest to this, they're very smart, almost like human-like, their personalities.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
But, Robert, you got any advice for him at all?
Yeah, if I could, Barry, it is Barry, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if I could, I do a lot of dog behavior. One of the things that I would recommend is walking that Siberian Husky along with the other dogs on leash. With you under control, just very short walks, controlled walks. Work on that obedience,
okay.
Probably with your most obedient dog, and just walk that Siberian along with him, so you can establish that bond and that leadership with him on those walks. Then after he has gone through the gamut of walking with all those guys, then gradually introduce him to one or two at a time, and he can get used to that pack behavior. If that answers your question.
Okay, that does answer the question, because what I did was the wrong thing. I think, according to what you guys are saying, obviously you guys have a lot more experience as far as the obedience part than I do. I just got lucky with the guys the girls and guy that I had before I introduced him. I think what I did wrong was I introduced him to all of them all at one time, and he had no idea what to do but to be aggressive or defensive, I guess.
Right.
Yeah,
definitely
do it more than aggressive, right?
Yeah, definitely do it one at a time and then build up that tolerance if that's okay.
Oh yeah, that sounds like what I should have done in the daggum first place, man. That's it. But it's amazing, man, that you're from Chattanooga. I was born at Memorial Hospital downtown, so back in '76. So I went to Boyd Buchanan High School, a little small private school there in Chattanooga.
I was born on Comet Trail. I've tried to be a star since.
hey, Barry.
Yes,
Barry,
sir.
Thanks a lot for your call. Okay.
I appreciate you letting me on the air, and man, I would love to be in Alaska right now because it's 100.
All right, man. Go Volunteers.
Hey, man. It's 106 degrees here right now. So I would love to be in Alaska. I don't care if it's raining or not, brother.
It's about 60 here.
All right, Barry, take care.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. And that was Barry calling in from Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's pretty cool there, Hugh. You even have fans in your backyard calling you on your own radio show.
Hey, Robert, speaking of which, man, you've been up here a few years now. You know, everybody down south sort of makes fun of the cold weather up here, and I'll take, 60 or 70 degrees over 100 degrees and wildfires any day of the week. I mean, you know what's happening back in your backyard right now.
Well, I know. The fires are absolutely terrible down there, only about 35 miles from our place down there in Colorado.
Really?
So definitely, we're giving out some prayers to those guys. People are losing homes like crazy down there in the wildfires. But, yeah, 60 degrees here in the valley here in Willow, that's pretty dang warm for us. And, we haven't had a chance to get out and run the dogs much. Last year we were running the dogs a lot in the summer at, below that 50-degree threshold that we like to keep. And we haven't been able to do that at all. So it is quite warm this year, even down here in the valley.
Oh, I know. We're running a team here in about an hour. We just have a little Suzuki four-wheeler. We just run six dogs for just a 1.5 loop, Not every day, but just a few times a week just to loosen them up and get them out on the trail, have a little fun. It keeps the dog here a little bit closer, too. So, I mean, I don't mind running dogs in the summer at all. It's, you got to play with the weather and see how that goes.
Right. So before we talk to Barry, we were finishing up with that the tours. How do people get in touch with you for more information about that? Can they call you? Your website, where?
Yeah, you have the information on hunef.com, or you can contact me at mush@hunef.
mush@hunef.com.
Yeah, or else the house phone here is 883-4034, and But I will be out of town, obviously, the next couple of weeks. But once I get back, we'll get that going in full. But going down to the visitor center as well here in Tok, so it's a lot of fun. And folks are willing to come by anytime. Just call first or let us know you're coming.
So in Tok, I believe you're the only distance musher. I know there's quite a few sprint mushers, but are you the only long distance musher in town?
There's a few other fellas. Alan Dennis did the quest a few years back. He lives down the road. Another guy named CJ does some mid-distance racing. Plenty of sprint mushers. You know, we got the Tok Race of Champions here. And then we actually have one of the original Iditarod finishers here, a guy named Arpino, who came in 11th the first year they went to Nome out of 22 mushers. So I just saw Bill yesterday. He's a neat guy to talk to, tell you all the stories about the early days and what that was like. Being the true original, you know, Iditarod explorer that I think all Iditarod mushers are sort of, that haven't, if you're not one of the originals, I think we're all sort of jealous that we weren't there.
Very cool. So we have about 6 minutes left. Do you want to talk about one particular dog? Maybe talk about the pups. How are they doing?
Oh, they're crazy, dude. So, yeah, we've got, I'm looking at them right over in the pen, Stevie Ray, and then Joey, and who else is that over there? Shackleton are poking out of one doghouse and then in the other pen. We've got Scarlett and Dixie and Merlin. And just energy. I actually have Havana, who's a yearling. I put her in there just because she's a pretty hyper, very dominant girl. Their mother, Princess, gets a bit of a... And they're out. We let them out of the pen a few times a day. And as we were talking earlier with Barry, I don't let it hold, you know, six litter pups out, three out at a time. And that way we can spend more time with them individually, have one taken off and wandering into the woods. It's all about, you know, nurturing, but in a controlled manner. That's just one litter. Then I have one other litter that's another John Baker dog named Effie, and the boy dog is Bodie, who's in the Iditarod last year. And that's Bodie's pup whining right now. They're a little bit younger, and they're, you know, moving around now, but not as much as the 3-month-olds. So we'll probably start moving them around a little bit more when I get back and taking them on walks. There's at the stage, though, where I can actually take with the team, the pups, and they'll run behind the four-wheeler when we run a 6-dog team. And it's just a great way for them to get a feel for what the mushing world is about. But you really need to, this, you know, it's like having a child. These are very critical days or months of their life, and you really need to nurture them as much as you can, obviously, when they're younger.
Right.
And that's what
right.
we're trying to do. That's what summers are all about, really.
So there you go. Hugh, have a great trip to Australia. Maybe we can even get a show on when you're down there. I'm not sure of the logistics, if you have the ability to call when you're down there. Maybe we can do that. I don't know. I think you're even a day before or a day behind us. I'm not sure. I haven't been down that way, but we'll see if we can get you on, okay?
Yeah, just one quick reminder for all my friends in Germany. I've been talking to a lot of you via the Schmuster page on Facebook, and they all know that I'll be down in Germany last week of September. Right now we have shows set up for Hamburg, Cologne, and Frankfurt, I believe. So if you're interested in in Germany, I'll be there the last month of September.
Very cool. So you're filling up
the last week, sorry.
You're filling up that passport this year, aren't you?
Well, you know, I'm just advantage of an opportunity, just like I did when I moved up to Alaska with $200 to my name, and I just went for it. And I really think that when you got something going good in life, like you have as well, Robert, you have to give back to what you're all about, and that's just what I'm trying to do.
Very cool. You're doing great stuff. Again, take care on that trip. We'll talk to you when you get back. Okay.
All right, my friend. You take care.
You too. That was Hugh Neff, 2012 UConn Quest champion. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.